Welcome. This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report.
And this is James Evan Pilato of Media Monarchy. And we both welcome you to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at newworldnextweek.com. And as always, a big thanks to ParadigmShift.tv for getting this shown on Sky Satellite Channel 201. And thanks to all the other folks who help spread the word about New World Next Week. James, I think it's appropriate to start off this episode with news this monumental. Studies show the world has never been this peaceful. From the Associated Press and posted to MediaMonarchy.com, historically, we have never had the world this peaceful. That's the thesis of three new books, including one by Harvard psychologist Steven Pinker. Statistics reveal dramatic reductions in war deaths, family violence, racism, rape, murder, and all sorts of mayhem. In his book, Mr. Pinker writes, quote, "The decline of violence may be the most significant and least appreciated development in the history of our species," end quote. It runs counter to what the mass media is reporting and essentially what we feel in our guts. In his new book, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined, Mr. Pinker's findings include the fact that the number of people killed in battle has dropped by 1,000-fold over the centuries as civilizations evolved, and that rape in the United States is down 80% since 1973. Pinker says one of the main reasons for the drop in violence is that we are smarter. IQ tests show that the average teenager is smarter with each generation. As we get smarter, we try to think up better ways of getting everyone to turn their swords into plowshares at the same time, Pinker said. The second book, Mr. Joshua Goldstein, professor of international relations of American University and author of Winning the War on War, has also been telling the same story as Pinker, but from a foreign policy point of view. And thirdly, the Human Security Report, 2009-2010, a project led by Andrew Mack, former head of strategic planning for United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan, is a worldwide examination of war and violence and has been published as a book. It shows that the average annual battle death toll has dropped from nearly 10,000 per conflict in the 1950s to fewer than 1,000 in the 21st century. James, that is all quite the mouthful. What's your take? Peaceful, or how does it feel in your guts?
Why, in my gut? Wow. From the War is Peace Department, I'm sure they'll be receiving their check in the mail from the Obama administration. No, I mean, it's easy to make fun of this and to cast aspersions on this type of thinking, but to a certain extent, I'm sure factually, a lot of this is in fact true, that there is in fact a decline. And if you went back 1,000 years, I'm sure people were in a much accustomed to a much greater degree of bloodshed and violence and general warfare than we are accustomed to now in the luxury of living in the Western democracies. I know that's counterintuitive for a lot of people, but I honestly think that to be true. But my take, my interpretation of what that means is different, obviously, from what they're saying. I don't think it's necessarily because people are smarter, or if so, it's only because the people who are controlling the system are smarter than they used to be 1,000 years ago, and they've learned from their mistakes, and they've learned that violence is not the best way to control a society, that in fact the best way to control a society is to make people believe that they are free, to believe that they have these choices, to believe that there is no violence or coercion that are forcing them to do anything. And then the SWAT teams and the men in the black masks are really only the last resort backup for that type of control. And once you have a propaganda system that's all-encompassing, you don't have to beat people over the head with clubs in order to make your point. In fact, people will do that to themselves intellectually. My take on it is different, but I do believe that human society overall is progressing through the centuries. I think we are in a demonstrably better position than any of our forefathers or foremothers at any time in history. I think that's self-evident to me. And if I didn't believe that society was progressing, if I didn't believe there was the possibility for progress, why would I be here doing this? I mean, I'm doing this because I know we are going to win and we are going to beat the psychopathic control freaks who have taken over our society. So that's my take on it. I think, you know, maybe we are more peaceful, but I don't think that's the whole story. What's your take?
Well, you mentioned perceived freedom, and I think that's interesting because I think that sort of dovetails and perhaps kind of battles it out with the otherwise kind of panopticon that you're sort of, oh, I'm free to make all these choices, but I pretty much know that it's all kind of being tracked, and because we're all kind of watching each other in the Bentham panopticon sort of setup. And we'll provide links to learn more about that, as I'm not probably explaining it quite so well. But the other side of it, too, is that all of these studies, I think, are basically talking about violence, that there's less violence. But as you said, you know, that violence isn't maybe the best way to kind of herd people. Have we flipped over more into the sort of soft kill eugenics kind of style instead of, you know, 10,000 people dying in wars and more? It's going to be perhaps more dying from the wars, the biological wars and the geoengineering and all of those things going on. So I would say, James, we should move to our second story, and that kind of makes the transition for us. And we'll take it from your own ClimateGate TV from The Telegraph. At least 2,700 people a year die in freezing homes. More people die each year because they are unable to afford their household fuel bills than are killed in crashes on Britain's road, a government commissioned report has found. At least 2,700 people are dying in Britain every year because they are unable to adequately heat their homes, according to interim findings of a report commissioned by the Department of Energy and Climate Change. The number of deaths outstrips the 1,857 people killed in road traffic accidents last year, said Professor John Hills, the academic at the London School of Economics, who wrote the report on fuel poverty and described it as a very serious problem. He said that the estimate for people dying from cold is conservative, and it could be far higher. It's making people ill. For some people, it's actually killing them. It's worsening hardship for people who are already poor, said Professor Hills. It's estimated that a fifth of an electricity bill is made up of climate change policies, equivalent to £15 per megawatt hour. This could more than double in the next decade. And James will end with the quip from tomnelson.blogspot.com on this insanity in Britain, that with people dying from the cold because they can't afford enough home heating, the government is deliberately raising heating costs in an attempt to make it slightly colder outside. James.
I think that Tom Nelson quote just captures that brilliantly. It really is insanity when you think about it. There's no other way to describe this type of mentality that we're willing to commit. We're getting ready to sign on to. Well, we aren't. The governments that speak in our name are getting ready to commit billions, if not trillions, of dollars of resources in the long term to combating something that is a potential threat, or they believe to be, or they want us to believe to be a potential threat somewhere down the road, while people are literally dying because of lack of heating and other things that are preventable. Let's take that money that we're going to be spending on this perceived threat, which of course we all know isn't really real anyway, and let's put it towards helping people, you know, heat their homes for the winter, and that will save 2,700 lives in Britain. That to me is a startling figure. I had no idea that it would be anything near that much. What's your take on this story, James?
Well, it's as we were kind of talking off mic before I asked you if it's still sunny climes in Western Japan, and you said yes, it is, but it's gotten pretty damn cold here in Portland, and it's October 26th. But again, as we were kind of talking off mic, I had to think about that, the quip from Tom Nelson, to kind of, it's like, oh, that's that circular logic of we're going to raise heating costs so that you're not burning too many fossil fuels, which make it hotter, so it can be slightly, but yeah, once you kind of chase your tail around that, you start to see, it's like, oh, that's right, this is all insane.
It's so stupid.
And even if it's all really real, what's paying carbon indulgences to the banksters and the elites and the multi-generational serial killer families that we've already referred to?
Right, and let's not trivialize this. I mean, I think the evidence shows that, yes, in the centuries, when you're looking at a centuries-long trend, yes, we are going through a warming period. But again, that has the fact that is caused by man-made carbon dioxide is, shall we say, not established by any means. And again, it's all just one big fraud. And exactly what is paying the banksters going to help it with any of this? So again, it's just one of those stories that I think shines the light on the real insanity that's going on here. So I hope people are checking ClimateGate.tv for those types of stories.
And meanwhile, I've been seeing a lot of headlines about the world population reaching, I believe, 7 billion at the end of this month. So again, that kind of ties in with the climate control and the overpopulation, and again, the eugenics agenda. But James, for our third and final story this week, I have posted to holyhexes.com, one of my new sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom covering the occult and religion in society, but it's from the Belief blog. The Vatican calls for a new global financial authority amid economic crisis. Against the backdrop of the European debt crisis and the birth of the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Vatican on Monday, October 24th, called for a new global public authority to help reform the world's finance and economic systems. New ideologies are reducing the common good to economic, financial, and technical questions, placing the future of democratic institutions themselves at risk, said Roman Catholic Bishop Mario Toso at a Monday press conference. The document, called, quote, towards reforming the international financial and monetary systems in the context of a global public authority, end quote, quotes former Pope John Paul II in bemoaning the idolatry of the market. The document calls for a new global economic authority that could impose penalties on member states as, quote, a way of ensuring that they possess efficient markets, end quote, Tasso said. Some progressives embraced the Vatican's call, arguing that it sounded many of the same themes as the Occupy Wall Street movement. James, isn't that a fascinating convergence of opinions? And I'm sure wholly coincidental. So before we kind of mention a little bit surrounding that, I'll provide a couple of extra links just to kind of get into the Vatican and their looting throughout the centuries. And you can learn more about the city-state of Vatican, as well as Washington, D.C. and the city of London, but also about God's banker, Roberto Calvi, in the Vatican, the P2 Masonic Lodge, and the Mafia. So, James, any of those points you want to take first?
Yeah, well, let me just say, I don't care what the viewers, what religion the viewers are out there, or whether they're atheist or whatever. I'm pretty sure that the Vatican calling for a global financial system is a sign of the end times, no matter what you believe or don't believe. Absolutely. Just, it's a ridiculous story, but unfortunately one that's just pretty obvious. I mean, it's been obviously developing for quite a while. For anyone who's been watching what the Vatican has been putting out the last few decades, at least, I mean, they've been moving in this direction with their growing steps towards one world religion and one world government and one world financial authority. So we're seeing all of these steps coming out of the Vatican. And of course, the Vatican still does control the minds of a billion people around the world. So it's unfortunate, but as you say, I think people have to start doing the research into the history of the Vatican and what it is and where it came from and how it has garnered so much control and why it's in the position it's in, to understand why it's nexused into the very same elite banking interests that are calling for one world financial institutions, because it's really just represents a further consolidation of control on their behalf.
As, I guess, a way to tie in a sort of Occupy Wall Street update, our own Oregonian reported just 2 days ago that Occupy Portland is starting to be sort of not overrun, but many mentally ill and street kids are basically starting to kind of overtake and not infiltrate, not in that kind of provocateur kind of way. But basically, unfortunately, we have a lot of mentally ill street people in Portland, Oregon. So naturally, they're going to gravitate to where there are people to kind of be around. But as we see kind of, I guess, bad moves all around and Occupy Atlanta and all of these scenes on so many different levels, James, we see there's so many things going on. And I hope folks probably know this, you know, New World Next Week, with the format that we do, there's no way we're the broad overview of every single thing going on in the world. And as we say with, you know, the things that we do cover, to investigate for yourself. James, before I throw it back to you here in our last remaining moments, I want to throw a quick plug and a programming note. It's the 5th anniversary of the Media Monarchy radio show this Friday, so I want to invite folks to check out that show coming this Friday.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for that, and happy anniversary. So thank you for all the work that you're doing over there at MediaMonarchy.com. I know it's extremely valuable to me, and I'm sure many of the listeners and viewers.
Thanks so much, man.